Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Right. I want to keep one in Delaware.
You should take
up an atomic
smoking.
Lighter. And the third thing was there's this woman who advertised, she's just a regular, like, sort of plump woman, a cook, and she advertises something called the copper pot.
No, I've not
where,
seen this one.
Where you put it, you put food in the bottom
I've
part.
I've seen the copper pot.
And then you close it with the top part.
And, the top,
and she says, and she actually says this, and you can make scrambled eggs. I can make scrambled eggs.
Sure.
I know how to do that.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. We're live at Chatter. People are here for breakfast. I'm here. My cold is getting a little bit better, though you may not hear that now. Nigel, your cold is getting a little bit better.
A little bit better, yes.
Jeannie is here, and Jeannie's wearing a surgical mask that Gary brought in.
I brought one for Michael as well, so that
I can't get out of the studio fast enough.
Yeah, so that Michael, so that Bootsy doesn't get ill. Yeah, we're open. And by the way, you know when we're open? We're open on Sunday when
That's
the games
right.
are.
Yes.
And I'll show up. If anybody wants me to be a bartender, I'll show up for the first game on Sunday.
How
all
about
right?
that?
So why don't you show up and spend money? From Brendan in New Jersey, I've recently begun reading through Ian Fleming's James Bond novel and was shocked to find in chapter 12 of Live and Let Die, our favorite gentleman spy, having to kill 4 whole hours in Jacksonville, Florida, while waiting for the silver meteor to St. Petersburg. Needless to say, he holds the city in the same high regard that you do. Hashtag Waffle Houses at 5 a.m. But from Jacksonville, from Ken Babby, the owner of the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
Did he send us shrimp?
No, he sent us a box of shirts and things, right? Last spring, I sent you some swag from our minor league team.
Is that a minor league baseball team?
The Akron Rubber Ducks for you
yes.
and Leon.
That's right.
We also own a team in one of your beloved places in the world. I thought you could wear this with pride for the big game Sunday. Go Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp and go Jags if the Jags win. I'm expecting you to come down and throw a first pitch this summer. Summer in Jacksonville sounds delightful. Nigel, what sort of a gear did we get? We also got a nice card from the Burke Boys, so we're happy. A happy holiday card in the middle of January. Yeah. A little bit late, but, you know.
So, we go so down all sorts of
pick
shirts.
It up, pick it up.
By the way, I noticed like a very strong smell of Lysol. I think it's on my microphone screen. Did someone
yes,
go?
Yes, I did.
Is that right? Okay.
That's right.
Thank you.
Nigel and I
appreciate that.
Host,
what do we have?
We host
just trying to get rid
down.
Of the evidence.
We've got lots of golf shirts here, a t-shirt.
Okay.
Yeah, just lots of shirts.
All right, so we got
nice.
Some people here.
Jumbo
so
shrimp.
Let's give out some shirts to people.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, the Jumbo Shrimp right. played Pensacola.
I see
at the
a
end
guy
of
here.
Yeah, we got a couple of people. So here's what I wanted to start with. And I know that Jeannie will be receptive to this. I watch the news. I watch the nightly news. I get home. My schedule is such that I get home in time to watch the news. People know I watch NBC News. Last night was Savannah Guthrie substituting
for Lester
Holt. Now, I also know that people under the age of 50 or maybe under the age of 60 don't watch the news.
I think under the age of 40.
They don't. Okay, so younger. So you think people in their
50s. Especially nightly news.
So that people don't
network
watch
network nightly news.
Yeah,
people
I don't
watch
it. Yeah.
And a lot of people think that the news is fake. I don't think the news is fake. I think the people that go do the nightly news are very good at their craft and try very hard and have the same basic tenets of journalism that Jeannie and I have, and I trust it, I do. And why do I watch it? Well, I've watched it all my life, and I'm attuned to watching it. I also want to know what's going on, and I trust it, and I have to talk a bunch of times a day for hours, and I have to have something to say, because if I came in here and the show consisted of, yeah, I like chicken parmesan, do you? You would not listen to this show. Nobody wants to hear the two main types of podcasts that nobody wants to hear are how to build a table, unless you need to build a table, or Billy and Bobby and Wendy sitting around going, I really like that movie. That girl's hot. She's really hot, isn't she? Nobody wants to hear these things.
Like right. snow peas.
So now you want to Talking hear something that talking. Sounds reasonably intelligent. And so I watch the nightly news. And I watched something last night that I have to say was unbelievable. Unbelievable. People go on YouTube, and this plays into what Jeannie, you were talking with me before about David and the garbage he watches
yeah.
from YouTube. Kids in America go on YouTube and they eat pods of laundry detergent.
Tide Pod Challenge. Yes.
They, yeah. And they are competing.
You're a little late to this party.
Competing with other stupid people eating laundry detergent, so that when they die, and you meet somebody who was a parent, and unfortunately my child died. Well, what? What did he or she die of? Eating laundry detergent in competition. In competition. Who does this?
It makes the Lisa Milk Challenge seem tame.
It makes the JaVale McGee and who was it? Nick Young with him doing the cinnamon challenge. It makes that quaint. But yes, and I'm fascinated by the fact that people
who does this?
Feel the need to report that eating laundry detergent can be harmful to
of
you.
Of course it can be. Of course it can be. When your dog, like my dog this morning, throws up on a walk. Dogs are not troubled by throwing up.
No.
When they're done throwing up,
digestion.
They just keep going.
It's still the rabbit that he's processing.
So I looked to see what she was throwing up with the great fear that she was throwing up a laundry pod. But in fact, we don't have laundry. We use regular Tide that you pour out that's liquid. You can't do this.
No.
You can't do this. What does your husband watch?
My husband, I'll go to bed and he will go to YouTube and watch YouTube videos of Russians on icy highways crashing into barrier walls and to each other. And I mean,
dash cam video.
They're on these icy highways. They're going 110 miles an hour.
They don't care.
They're going to crash. And if he's not watching that, he's watching MMA. Where men are pummeling each other. I don't know what's going on in that man's head.
Michael, you're young. Well, you're the youngest person here. Do you know anyone who eats a laundry pod?
Well, not intentionally. When I was a kid, we watched the TV show Jackass. I think you can say that on a pod.
Yes.
Right.
So within my age group, it became a big deal to make videos of you and your friends doing stupid things to imitate this. But the scale of the audience was such that you just tried to get a couple of laughs. So you might hit a friend, jump off a building, but you weren't doing something that was trying to go viral on the internet. The psychology of getting something to go viral, particularly at this really impressionable age group of kids in their teens, is really hard for me to understand, because everything you're doing is just to try and get it to this audience that you don't know, even when you knowingly put yourself in harm.
Well, there can't be anyone in America that thinks that eating laundry detergent is good.
I have a little bit of experience with this. And if it's for you to understand, Michael, this is impossible for you to understand. But I want you to listen to me very carefully.
Okay.
Because this is real. I have two 13-year-old boys.
Oh, boy.
They're not particularly dumber than most 13-year-old boys, but they are dumb. All right? These kids spend... If you... saw this sometimes. I try to ignore their lives as best I can. My three rules of parenting are deny, ignore, deny.
Well, let me write that down.
But occasionally one of them will do something that requires Kim and I do some parenting, and we'll sort of dive into what they're doing, the things they're reading. We pay attention to what they're reading, but things they're looking at online. If you saw the stuff they're looking at online, which I just sort of clump into, as David is looking at, I just call it general jackassery, to Michael's point about the show Jackass. They will spend 90 minutes a day, easily 90 minutes a day, just watching YouTube, watching this idiotic stuff, and they want to be YouTube. That's like a job for them. They talk about guys like this Logan Paul guy, who you may or may not have heard of.
I know that.
Who's the one who went to the... The forest in Japan. The suicide forest, and he live vlogged live vlogged coming across this dead body that he found. This is all going over your head, I can tell by your expression. But anyways, this guy Logan Paul has millions and millions of followers on YouTube, millions and millions of dollars of income from it. He's, I think, a few years younger than Michael, but grew up that same way, sort of looking for these videos that will get this huge following. And my kids think that's like a real well, I guess it is. It's funny. I have this argument with them. I say, you know, that's not a job. That's something he does for money. But that's not a job. You know, and good for him that guy is able to do that, and he's able to find 15 million dummies like you to watch him and follow him and watch his videos, and that generates money for him. But there's like, that doesn't serve any purpose. They say, well, it entertains us. And I say, well, it entertains you.
What if you find out that your kids are eating laundry pods.
Well, that is taking it to the next level. Now, they're not doing that because we've had this conversation.
You know the story about the young couple that were trying to do a YouTube stunt?
Shooting themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shooting
themselves.
Or through this vest.
And one of them got killed.
Yeah, the male was killed, and now she's going to go to jail.
So as well she should. Yes.
I will say this in defense of my boys, who I just crushed. In their instance,
they're not listening, don't worry.
It's not about wanting to be famous. It's wanting to have a lot of money. So I can respect that. Yes. But for some of these people, it's like the need for affirmation, the need for recognition.
That's affirmation, Holmes.
The need to get these, the clicks, know, the likes, the follows, it just completely drives them.
I think it started maybe even before Jackass with America's Funniest Home Videos. Do you remember that show?
Yeah.
That was before the internet.
Yeah.
And they would issue a disclaimer at the beginning of that
show. Don't try this at home.
Right. You know, we're not responsible and don't risk, you know.
There are people that, like, they go on railroad tracks and wait for the train to come. Yeah. This is insane.
They try to do park.
But Tony, the people who do this successfully, you know, at the highest level, I should say, success is, I guess, weird to measure. But guys like this Logan Paul, they are making $10 million a year.
Well, how would you measure success in how many laundry pods you could eat before you died?
Well, that one is, that's a different, it's a different game, I guess.
I called Michael last night. I call every night on my way home. He doesn't pick up the phone most of the time.
Smart kid.
He didn't pick up the phone this time, but then he called me back while I was leaving a message. And I explained that it was about a quarter to six or 10 to six, and I was on the bridge on Connecticut Avenue going north where the first street you hit is Calvert. Woodley.
The one that goes over the park.
And looking out to the west, I could see some small light in the sky. I could see the sliver of a moon, which I think is waxing now, not waning. But I could see some small light in the sky. And I called him up and I said, I don't understand this. We are now a month out from the winter solstice. So we have gained light a little every single day since December 22nd. So we're a month out. And I didn't understand why most of the light we were gaining was in the evening. Whereas in the morning at a quarter to seven, when I got to go out and
seems
play the frisbee game with the dog, you know, it's still pitch black. And so does anybody know the answer to that?
We need some sophomore at one of the magnet science schools to come in and build us a little thing with styrofoam balls, you know.
Does it not seem to you that the greater light is coming at the end of the day?
I know that the days get longer, but it's not where you expect them to be.
Maybe it's that because you are going from full light to dark, the waning light seems to be more prolonged versus when you're going from full dark to light.
I know, no. I look into the eastern sky. I know where the sun is coming from. No. We're adding on daylight on the wrong side of the tracks for me.
It's got to have something to do.
For me.
Yes.
I mean, did you?
I'm embarrassed to say I did some homework on this.
Thank you.
It's about how the sun spins, isn't it?
I have no idea what this means. Normally, with the teacher's background, I can spin it into something. I think it has to do with the fact that our days are not uniformly 24 hours. And
what
you're
are
dealing,
they?
Well, you might have 23 hours, 59 minutes, and 30 seconds a little bit before the shortest day of the year. And after that, you might be playing catch up with days that are a little bit over 24 hours. So we have the simplified system to make sense.
We have one size fits all.
Exactly. So now we're trying to play with that catch up where you still have darkness in the morning and it's not fully caught up yet.
I'm just telling you, I think I'm right on this. I always notice light and dark when I'm driving home, and it is lighter, longer, but not in the morning. So that's our science project for next week. One other thing I wanted to say at the open here is apparently Amazon, which is laughing at mayors and governors and citizenry all over the country, wants to get a secondary site.
Mm-hmm. HQ2.
They've got headquarters in Seattle, mm-hmm. and now they're basically auctioning off. They're going to end up making money on this deal.
It's like an IOC situation.
A tremendous thing that they're going to do. The mayor of Washington, D.C. has already done videos. We'll do anything you want. You know, what do you need?
And here's my prediction. It'll be in Montgomery County, which will precipitate the Purple Line to just grow exponentially. Oh,
I'm just going
to
tell you this. We're down to 20, and where I sit now, Washington, D.C. is one of the 20, and Northern Virginia is one of the 20, and Montgomery County, Maryland is one of the 20. And everybody else, you know, is saying, well, we're one of the 20. You're not one of the 20. Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon, owns the Washington Post. It's coming here.
Right.
I don't know that it's coming to this block. It's coming to this area because he's got to be here. This makes his life easier. Two of his business, I have no idea how many other businesses
he has. To figure out Whole Foods first.
But this is, are you not agreed? I can't believe that anybody doesn't think this.
He has a fantastic home here.
It's coming here.
Yeah.
Well, are you other people stupid?
I'll say this with one caveat.
It's not going to Columbus, Ohio.
As you are fond of saying, the answer to all your questions is money. So if someone comes to the fore and they say, you know what, somehow or another, I don't understand how this would work legislatively. Here's a bunch of money, or you will pay no income tax in our state.
And then what he'll do is he will go to the three competing entities in this area, and he'll say, what are you going to do for me? Just match it. It's yours.
Right.
What did we decide he's worth, like $90 billion or something? So, you know.
He doesn't care.
Why do you think he is so wealthy? On the shortest. He's a better, you know.
What is that? What are you playing?
That was Nige. Don't look.
Yeah, sorry, I was looking up the list of finalists, and an automatic video started.
There's a lot of Nashville is a finalist. I'll say there's a lot of finalists.
Well, 105.
But this is where it's going.
I think Raleigh's a sleeper in your.
It's coming
vision.
Here. Raleigh's out. They just got 12 inches of snow in the past 2 weeks. Nobody wants to go there.
According to Money Magazine, effective January, Jeff Bezos' net worth, Amazon CEO now, richest person in history, $105.1 billion. Don't shortchange him, $105.1 billion.
It's here.
Yeah,
well,
it's
am I stupid on this? He owns the Post.
Although Forbes has him at 104.4, so maybe
the purple line will grow to like five lanes from one, and
that would be bad.
HQ2 will be sitting.
It will not be good for traffic.
Yeah,
no,
either.
No, no.
Jacksonville, I think, might be a favorite for this.
No,
might be good for chatter.
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah.
Well,
I hope it's built across the street.
Yeah, right across the street.
Take out this Michael's joint. Take it out. And there's a bus depot over there.
Yeah, we can lose that.
Build it right there. All right. Who's next? Ann
Hornaday.
Ann Hornaday. When we return, Michael has a read. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is your jauntyupside.com read.
All right.
How's your things to do in 2018 checklist coming along?
Well, I wanted to get sick and almost die, so I'm one for
check.
One.
You're doing check. Well. Yeah. Mine's a work in progress.
Get an atomic lighter.
I haven't gotten sick yet.
Unchecked.
But I do have one thing on mine that belongs on every business traveler's list. Book your next business trip at upside.com. When you do, you'll get the better business travel experience you deserve and a free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones. More on that in a second. First, though, here's why you'll love Upside.com. Only Upside is customer service specialists who look out for you every step of the way on your business trip, handling any problem that might pop up. Their team is hard at work 24 hours a day to make sure your flight, hotel, and rental car go off without a hitch. They're available on demand by chat, phone, and email whenever you need them. You could call them just to check in.
I would just like to chat with them.
Only Upside monitors your business trip around the
Maybe
clock.
Maybe they know why the light is greater at the evening hours than the morning hours.
Maybe they could tell you about Amazon HQ2 and why cost of living in the D.C. area might prohibit that move eventually. They could proactively keep you posted on everything from the weather in the city you're going to changing your flight home so you can adjust your meeting schedule. Have you ever experienced that level of service before on a business trip? Nope. I would have said no. All that plus Upside has great prices for flights, hotel, and rental cars. Now, to get your free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones, just book your first business trip with Upside by going to upside.com/Tony. That's upside.com/Tony to claim your Bose SoundLink wireless headphones. Upside.com, you deserve a better business trip. Headphones available while supplies last. Must be first Upside purchase. $600 minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Well, his name is Jay. He's a son of a bitch.
No, that's great.
His daddy was
Yeah. Leon Parrott sent this in. Song is written and performed by my brother-in-law, who I was formerly related to by marriage, Tom Davidson of Cheraw, South Carolina. You know where that is, Michael? C-H-E-R-A-W?
Cheraw. No.
Tom gives his permission for you to play, although he has no idea who Mr. Tony is. Great lyrics, and the title is Blue Collar Dog. I hope it makes the cut. Love the show for 20 years plus. Got to see the podcast last fall. I'm the guy who sent along the South of the Border memorabilia a few months back.
Oh, yeah.
Some of which we still have.
Yes, we still
have. Very grateful for that.
Thank you.
Nice, too. Ann Hornaday joins us now. She has three new movies to talk about, and then I'm going to talk about Lady Bird, which is the best movie of the year, and Mudbound, which is so unrelentingly bleak that I walked out of my own house. I could not finish. But I'll get to those points in a little while. Let's start with Hostiles with Christian Bale, who's a great actor. Just a great actor. I see the television campaign for this now, and yet it wasn't nominated for anything. Is it 2017 or 2008? What's the deal with this?
Well, it was one of those platform releases, but I have to say they changed the opening date on us, so I wonder if we should talk about, maybe we should save it for next week.
Okay.
Because it's not opening wide today.
Okay. Wow. All right. So we'll save it.
Do you mind if I...
No.
I hate
that's fine.
To switch the people, but
that's just,
it's just
another thing Nigel did wrong, and we go back to zero.
No, he didn't. No, because it was not his fault. They changed the date very late in the game, and it was a little bit... The comms on this one were a little scrambled.
All right. So we'll leave that alone for a second. There's another one called... It's a lovely title, not necessarily for a movie, but it's a lovely title. Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool.
Yes.
And who's in this? And what is this?
This is interesting. It's based on the book of the same name by a guy named Peter Turner, who in the 1970s was a sort of 20-something guy, British, from Liverpool, wanting to make his way as an actor. And he ended up meeting Gloria Graham. Now, you and I remember who Gloria Graham
is.
Yes,
I do, vaguely.
She was like the quintessential femme fatale in 40s and 50s noir movies. You know, she was in The Bad and the Beautiful and Lonely Are the Brave. She was the one, you know, who would play opposite Humphrey Bogart, and she had that beautiful kind of sultry lisp. You know, she was kind of cat-like.
And you've got that great line for her. She was in... excuse me, It's a Wonderful Life, where she says,
right.
"When this is that your dress? Oh, this whole thing? I just wear this, but I don't care what I look like." And every guy's head turns as she walks away.
Yeah.
It's like the best.
That's a good line. You
want to
know another
movie.
Good line? I heard this yesterday for the first time
in
the new play that my high school friend Jimmy Steinman is mounting, the Bat Out of Hell musical.
Oh, cool.
One of the names of the songs is Good Girls Go to Heaven, but Bad Girls Go Everywhere. That's good.
That sounds like Dorothy Parker. That reminds me of something Dorothy Parker would say.
So that's good.
But anyway, so when Gloria Graham was in her 50s, which of course then in those days was considered the downslide of your career or something, she was in
70.
England. She was doing a lot of theater, and so he met her while she was doing a play. And they really fell in love. I mean, here was this 25-year-old kid.
Okay.
And 55, yeah.
So this is true. This is a true story.
This is based on a true story. And Annette Bening plays the 50-something Gloria Graham.
Well,
and Jamie Bell plays Peter Turner.
Yeah.
And what happened was that the romance was relatively short-lived, but the friendship remained. And when she became deathly ill while she was doing a play in England, she called him and said, "I need to come to your house," because she had grown very close with his family. And they ended up taking her in to their little working-class house in Liverpool, and it's just a charming story. The memoir itself is a very sweet book. The movie, you know, we were talking about the other day, Arch and I were agreeing that we wanted to like it more than we actually did.
Oh.
I mean, it's a very sweet story, and both of the actors, I think, are swell. I wanted a little bit more... I don't think people who don't know who Gloria Graham is will get it at all, you know, like who she was and why this is extraordinary.
So this is a movie that will appeal to 0.3% of the world, maybe.
Well, maybe, but it's the 0.3% that still goes to movies.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it's the people who still do go to the movie theater and go to the art house to go see movies. So it's a nice, sweet-natured story. I think I wanted a little bit more substance from it.
I like Annette Bening. I've always liked
Annette
Bening.
Oh, she's lovely. It's a great performance. I mean, I was a little bit... She kind of plays her a little bit kittenish, and I kind of felt like Gloria Graham was more cat-like. You know what I mean? Like, she was a grown-up cat. She wasn't
right.
a kitten.
Okay, okay.
But, you know, those are quibbles. I mean, I'm sure it's a very grounded performance, and I defer to Miss Bening in all things. Like, I'm sure it's very... researched, and she knows exactly what she's doing, and she is absolutely fantastic. I mean,
so it's pretty
marvelous.
Good. It's not real good.
I would say it's a pretty good movie.
Okay.
That's exactly
and then
what
there's
I'd
this
say.
There's this movie called 12 Strong, which is about, I guess, Navy SEALs who can't find water and get on horses. I mean,
well,
I don't even
close,
what
close,
is
close.
It? What
it's
is
special
it?
Special forces is Green Berets.
Is it
so
true? Are they wearing tactical special ops glasses like they advertise
sometimes.
On TV
sometimes
carrying
they wear the,
atomic
they,
lighters?
They can, yeah, they can wear the night vision. It's about the first mission that went into Afghanistan after 9/11 to take the Northern Territories, to work with the warlords in the Northern Territories and take territory from the Taliban and kind of, you know, put a flag on the ground and establish some purchase. And so it was for the longest time it was a classified operation. We did not know the story. It's now able to be told. And it's been sort of given the rah-rah Jerry Bruckheimer treatment in this movie. But, you know, it's a serviceable, no pun intended, it's a fascinating story about this group of soldiers, 12 of them, who go in, and they are forced to do the mission on horseback because that's the best way to get around this craggy, imposing territory with this warlord, Dostan. I think his name is Dostan. Chris Hemsworth plays the leader. Mitch
he's
Nelson.
In everything.
He's in everything.
He
but I
looks
he
like
a very fine job.
He looks like the soldier that we want to say is ours.
That's right.
That's
and
it.
That's
I mean,
why
this
he
is
gets all these
American
roles.
Boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's really true. It's like I kept thinking Brad Pitt. You know, it's funny because Brad Pitt was in this kind of revisionist, cynical Afghanistan movie, War Machine, last
yes.
year, where he played Stanley
yes.
McChrystal. And I'm thinking, like, this is such the non-that. You know, I mean, this is a very idealistic, this is like the one, you know, they make much of the fact that this was a hugely successful mission, and it was like Al-Qaeda's biggest defeat. And it's like, yeah, it was the first and the last, you know what I mean, in a way. I mean, it's like, to me, it presages this quagmire that they're getting into. But I don't think that the movie itself underlines that. It's a very idealistic movie. But on the other hand, though, it does, it's a fascinating story, and I think... You know, it's worth us hearing it. And Michael Shannon and Michael Pena, Trevante Rhodes are the supporting guys. They're all very good. So, you know, it's a good serviceable. I would say this is a pretty good movie, too.
Yeah, I'm going to miss this one. You
okay.
know, I'm
I mean,
wait
I will
for
give
it
you.
On
I,
HBO.
I wouldn't tell you to drop everything and see it, but I do think there's an audience for it, and I think they'll be happy with it.
So let me get to the movies that I said I was going to get
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I want to hear about this.
All right. And I'm not going to go long because I think I've said this on
but
the
I
air.
I want to hear from you.
So I voted yesterday. I voted SAG-AFTRA, and I voted best movie. I voted Lady Bird.
Wow.
I thought it was the best. I think it's the best
I'm
thing
thrilled.
I've seen. Lady
I'm
Bird,
thrilled.
For me, the reason it works, not and I, the girl with the unpronounceable first name.
Saoirse Ronan.
Oh, Saoirse, yeah.
She's
Saoirse.
The greatest actress in the world. I mean, I've
right?
seen her in two things.
Fantastic.
In Brooklyn, which was great, and in this, which is great.
But
and,
just seeing those two things tells you everything you need to know.
What,
like,
yes.
She can do those things.
What I like most about this movie is that at no point... And look, I loved I, Tonya as a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Yeah.
But I don't really believe that Tonya Harding's mother was that terrible. You know,
okay.
I believe that was exaggerated to some degree. This movie, for me, has the ring of truth
totally
all
agree.
The way up and down the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am not familiar with what it's like to be a 17-year-old girl. And the problems 17-year-old girls have. When my daughter was 17, she had already stopped speaking to me for 3 years. So I mean, I don't have this. I have no sisters. I don't have this. But to me, it seemed like every single thing that happened in this movie, and these are not giant things. The earth
right.
doesn't stand still. Every
right.
single thing could have happened, including at the beginning, the girl leaping out of the car.
Yeah.
I really felt it. The parents. I hate to say this because Tracy Letts is my nemesis, but the mom and the dad, they seem perfectly reasonable
totally
as the mom and the dad. And that's
I
why,
know.
And that's because I'm old, because I don't care about movies where stuff blows up, and I don't care about movies with raunchy dialogue all the time. To me, Anne, this movie was was pitch perfect. It was.
Oh, God, I'm smiling. If you could see me, I'm grinning ear to ear. You're making me so happy.
And that's why I worry that Allison Janney is going to get the Oscar that Laurie Metcalf deserves.
Well, I voted for Allison Janney about. When I voted this morning.
Yeah, but that's just, to me, just okay. Such a sort of typecast role that she's playing, whereas Laurie Metcalf's is so real. It's so nuanced.
So
nuanced.
So now
word, exactly.
I see this movie, and I know that the only movie that Anne Hornaday has put above this movie this year is Mudbound.
Correct.
Mudbound was one, Lady Bird was two. So I sit down to watch Mudbound, and I leave.
Yeah.
I leave my own den after an hour.
Yeah.
This is a new low.
It is.
But it's not because it was bad. Tell us
no,
why.
No, it's great.
Keep in mind, Anne didn't turn
great.
It off. No, just left the den.
Left.
Because the dog was watching.
The dog was watching.
His contention.
Well. I left. It's a great movie. The vision of the writers and the directors is real. It's a great movie. It is so unrelentingly bleak. It is about a time in American history that nobody can be proud of. You know, the soldiers coming back, black soldiers coming back in the South, serving the country for 5 years and 4 years in World War II, and then having to go in and out of the back door. I mean, it's awful.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. It the people in it, they are Mudbound should give you some clue as to how depressing it is. The land is the star of the movie.
Mm.
It's tough. It's rough. You got to hack at it to, you know, plant the fields. And everybody in it seems on the verge of being defeated and annihilated. I just, and I left. I just, no.
Yeah.
Not for me. Not for me. And I'm not, and it is really good. Not for me.
Well, I think you're, in a way, you know, I think you're paying homage to the power of the movie. And I will just say this, that luckily, Dee Reese, the director, does not give in to despair. I mean, I totally hear you.
I know
you're
told me that.
But there
that's
are
better.
Glimmers of hope. But there are connections, and there are these kind of interpersonal relationships that develop over the course of the movie that really do give you genuine hope. And I just want to say it ends. I mean, it's like it destroyed me how it ended, and
it doesn't
end depressingly. It really, really ends on a hopeful note. But I take your point, and it's not going to be. It's not going to be for everyone on a particular day. Like, you have to kind of be
you saw it,
in
Jeannie.
A space
yeah.
to be able to watch it. But I just thought...
I know it's
so,
really good.
But, Tony, there's
yeah,
a...
I know.
So I mean, even amidst the ugliness, it's so beautiful. It's just so beautifully shot. And I thought the writing... I'm usually not a voiceover fan, but the writing of the voiceover, everybody gets a little narration. You know, they're all narrating their own experience.
Yeah.
And it's just... beautifully written. It's like literature, you know? But I take your point.
There's a theme here, Tony, and that is that you can't handle movies that make you feel uncomfortable. You couldn't watch Get Out
no, it's tough.
When it
started
to yeah. tighten up on you.
Maybe too real or too close to home.
Yeah, you don't want to see Detroit, that's for sure.
I'm not, I
think
but I appreciate
movie.
How good this movie is.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, I think that's...
It's like last year when I watched Moonlight. Which I knew wasn't necessarily for me, but I knew that was a great movie.
It was a great movie.
That's
yeah,
and at the end,
it.
I know that's a great movie. But that is not as this is depressing
yes.
for me. This was very, very depressing.
Well, it was the parts you saw were, but I just want to say it's not all that. You know, it does change. Things
yeah, but I knew
change.
It was
things
even going to get worse.
But
I mean, I could see the arc of it. I could see the arc.
Yeah,
of it.
But it yeah. but it does and it doesn't. I mean, there are
okay.
ways that it doesn't, and
right.
and that's important to. I just want the listeners to know that.
So here's
know,
who else I voted for. I'm just telling you who I voted for.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I voted for Gary Oldman as best actor.
Good.
I voted for Woody Harrelson because I thought he was great in Three Billboards.
Excellent.
I thought when he's out of the movie, it's not as good a movie.
And you yeah. liked him better than Sam Rockwell?
Far better.
Okay.
I thought Sam Rockwell was a cartoon character.
Okay.
Who could not even be on a police force in a small town. I didn't believe
okay.
it was possible. I voted for Frances McDormand.
Yeah.
Because if for nothing else, and I know that there's not a lot of range to it, you know, and she plays the same character all the way through. But when she makes that speech to the Catholic priest, that's it.
It is.
That's the greatest scene
yeah.
I've
yeah.
seen all year. So
yeah.
she got my vote, and I did vote for Allison Janney. Although the supporting actress thing is littered with moms. Everybody's playing a mom. Yeah. Everybody's
true,
playing a mom.
True, as is Francis, by the way. You know, I mean, it's all they're all defiant. Yeah, that's a very interesting dynamic.
Defiant moms.
Not Viola Davis.
I don't think she was...
Oh, she wasn't in that? She was in Golden Globes. Okay.
No, she was not.
Well, you know who I really want to be in the running is Mary J. Blige from Mudbound. Did you even recognize her?
Did not. I think everybody in that movie is really, really good. Jonathan Banks.
Oh.
DC's own Jonathan Banks.
Oh, my.
Incredible.
To get to play that and to be so chilling?
Yeah.
No. So that's you know.
Jonathan Banks and Michael Shannon right now are the two just kind of raw, mean,
villains, tough guys.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Anne.
It's always a pleasure. I'm so happy you're seeing the movies, and I'm glad you've voted. That's
well, I
really
sit in
exciting.
My house and sometimes walk out.
I'm thrilled.
Anne Hornaday, boys and girls. We will come back. We'll have news. Jeff Ma.
That's right.
May make two picks. May make one. May make none. I don't know. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
What's great about the Squarespace, Reed, is that the actual physical copy is a work of art unto itself.
Jeannie uses Squarespace.
Well, I use it with assistance, but I know that my artist friends find it very helpful.
Yeah.
So, things you can do with Squarespace. Create a beautiful website to turn your cool idea into a new website, like Ms. McManus's friends. Showcase your work. Could be your artwork. Blog or publish content. Sell products and services of all kinds. Promote your physical or online business, announce an upcoming event or special project, and more. Squarespace does this by giving you beautiful templates created by world-class designers, powerful e-commerce functionality that lets you sell anything online, the ability to customize look and feel, and you can really feel that through the through your screen, settings, products, and more with just a few clicks. Everything optimized for mobile right out of the box. A new way to buy domains and choose from over 200 extensions. Analytics that help you grow in real time. Built-in search engine optimization, free and secure hosting. Nothing to patch or upgrade ever. 24/7 award-winning customer support. We're encouraging folks to make it. That Squarespace is encouraging you to do so. Make it yourself. Easily create a website by yourself. Make it stand out. Stand out with a beautiful website. The future is coming.
I wish I could do that.
You could actually do so with Squarespace. It's that easy.
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, but Tony couldn't do it.
I don't think
I
think
somebody
he could.
To help.
You have, with a helper.
Yeah.
With a
they
helper.
Have, like,
I have somebody to do it.
They have templates, and you just scroll
through the template.
You want to make a like a peopletkhates.com website
know.
And just do
I've
a
looked
list?
Into that domain. It's taken.
Yeah.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the promo code Tony to save 10% off your first purchase of a website domain.
So you do great reads, and I want people to know that although you can hear me coughing and wheezing, it really is getting better. I believe by Monday it'll be good, because when I cough now, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, by Monday, Gary and I will have it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, then I'll get it again.
Yeah.
Then I'll get it again.
We'll just keep circulating that.
Keeps giving.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Jacob Masters. This is a song called Wherever You Are, the debut single from a pop music act, High School Jacob. He lives in L.A. He says, my dad, originally from D.C., his best friend is Peter Melman.
How about that? Friend of the show.
Melman.
Peter Melman is Peter. His father's best friend. That's wonderful. And apparently Wilbon and I filmed a birthday message to him when he turned 60 years old. And Jacob writes, I have classical pieces as well if you want to appeal to the littles born in the 1700s.
We do have a segment of the population that is that.
Michael, if you're like Jacob Masters, if you want to send in your music and play it and you can hear it at the end in its entirety, how do you do it?
Please send your music into the show at jingles at tonykornheiser.com.
Are we selling anything?
Yeah, the winter hats are available to pre-order along with a few new shirts. And I'm happy to announce that the Tony K-Coat is back at Johnny O.
All right.
And more than that, the Johnny O team has been so pleased with all of the TK Littles and the way they've responded to the brand that they have randomly selected a few winners for some Johnny O prize packs.
Cool.
That's going to include some polo shirts and a button-down. So, Brian Bresnahan from Brooklyn, New York, Tim Yale from Bethesda, Maryland, and Brigham Hyde from New York City. Please email the show at mailbag.
How great is that?
And
that
I'll get awesome. You in. I'll get you in contact with their merchandise team,
and they'll send you a big box of that.
They will send you a box of that.
That's tremendous. Fabulous. By the way, Michael pointed out to me in the break the chatter shirts for those folks who are here at the studio. $12 chatter shirts are going like hotcakes.
Can't
better get them while they last, folks.
Can't beat them. Yeah, because we may not get any more.
Right.
We
this could not. Be a limited run.
Jeff Ma joins us now. Jeff was 1-1 last week. Only bet two games.
Two games.
His blog, his podcast. God, this cold is
killing me.
Bet the Process is his podcast.
Hang in there with me, Jeff. Towards the end of the show, I get sicker and sicker
coughs,
and sicker.
I will point out that Jeff last week...
Jeff's at 500.
Very astutely, when asked about the Minnesota game, said, I liked it when it opened at 3.5, but at 5 or 5.5, where I think it was when we spoke to him last Friday, he said, I think most of the value's been bet out of it. And because of that, Jeff wasn't left brown shorting it like many were, wondering what they were going to do with that extra point.
Yeah, yeah.
He was safe.
Yeah.
He stayed off.
All right, Jeff, what do you got? You don't have to pick both games. You don't. You can.
Well, I've been on hold for so long, I forgot. I thought I was just listening to the podcast. I didn't know I was actually going to have to say anything.
Yeah.
Tony, so I've been coming on almost all season, so I'm interested to know, have you learned anything from me? Can you guess what I'm going to be on this week?
Well, early trends for you
were Cleveland,
Deshaun Kizer. You like underdogs. You like the value of underdogs sometimes. And you look at it, seems to me, one of the statistics that you quote a lot is yards per play. And I think you look at that more than some of the others. It would seem to me that you would like Jacksonville. And that's the one thing I would say. That you would like Jacksonville.
Although that line is now because of
down
the,
to seven.
The injury thing, or 7.5.
Seven and a half. Well, yeah, what is the line on that, Jeff?
I have 7.5. Why were you saying you think the line moved to 7.5? You think there's injuries?
I thought that was because of the Brady thing. Because it seemed to be 9 until that news broke, I thought.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's hard to say what the reasoning for that is. I actually, you know, like, sometimes when people zig, you should zag. And in this case, I think that New England, I actually like New England in this game.
Really?
7.5. Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, if you think about the Pittsburgh game last week and you think about Jacksonville as a whole, I mean, if you look at season-long statistics, this game should be New England probably favored by more than 10 points. Historically, you know, playing two playoff games already, as Jacksonville has, not having had a bye, having been on the road last week, New England does just have a big home field advantage going into this game based on the situation. Then if you look at the season-long statistics, New England is right now defying a lot of, you know, they're not one of the top defenses in terms of the number of yards they're giving up and the number of yards per drive they're giving up, but the ability that those teams have that they play against to convert those yards into points, New England has had a historical run this year in terms of stopping teams in the red zone and stopping teams from scoring. I think there is a question about whether that is luck or an outlier or variance. New England has been able to do this almost the whole Belichick run. This year is definitely one of the most extreme cases. So I do think New England has value at -7.5. You know, obviously we don't know about all the injury situation. Jacksonville last week got some real good, strong betting late in the week, which caused that line to go from 7.5 to 7. And clearly there were some very smart people on Jacksonville last week. But let's just think about it this way. If this line is basically the same as it was last week, what do you think the difference between Pittsburgh and New England as teams are?
Well, New England is a better team. They beat them in Pittsburgh. They're a better team. Smarter team, so better team. Yeah.
How can we think the value is now on Jacksonville when the line is essentially the same as it was last week against Pittsburgh? And you can say, well, they dominated Pittsburgh, et cetera. Pittsburgh still outgained them by a lot. And I think if it weren't for two really terrible fourth down plays and
yes.
questionable strategy.
And they fired the coordinator. Really, yes.
Yeah, I mean, they should have fired the coordinator. I mean, how stupid were those fourth down decisions? Not only that, but if you think about it, Big Ben handed them 14 points with almost a pick six and then a fumble. Scoop and score. So are you saying
won
by 3 points.
Jeff, are you saying that this particular line is far too reflective of this one game against Pittsburgh, and so the value is with New England because of that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that there's just generally a lot of momentum around Jacksonville's defense, which I still think is somewhat unwarranted. You know, they gave up 42 points to Pittsburgh. They played a very weak schedule. And I think New England will have the right game plan. I think what they're going to do is they're going to spread them out like they do a lot. They're going to do a lot of quick passes. They're going to run the ball a lot more than people expect with a lot of sort of quick hitting runs. And they're not going to let Jacksonville's pass rush be a factor in this game.
Okay. So you got New England. You picking the other game or no?
Yes, I am. I do really like Philadelphia again. I think it's almost a carbon copy of last week. I think Philadelphia getting 3 points at home against Minnesota. I think this is slightly different, though, in that this game was up at 3.5. It's got bet back down to 3. The thought or the rumor is that there's a lot of sharp money, a lot of smart bettors on Philly this week. Again, like the world where Philly and Minnesota are that different in terms of skill level or in terms of how they are, such that Minnesota should be giving 3 points on the road, it doesn't seem right. I mean, these two teams are probably pretty close to even. So at home, Philly should be, you know, about a 2.5-point favorite. I think this line should be much closer to even. I think that, you know, again, Nick Foles played fine last week. Obviously, Case Keenum and the Minnesota wide receivers were pretty amazing last week. But they're on the road now, and I think that just getting 3 points at home for Philly, where you have probably the best defense in the league at home, is way too many. You know, it's too hard to pass up. So I like Philly, and I like New England.
I mean, I think part of this ought to be Minnesota has no right to be in this game, and New Orleans should be in this game. They should have lost that game. I'm surprised it's three.
That doesn't matter this week, right? I mean, at the end of the day, if you're saying that you think that, you know, that game showed that Minnesota is maybe not the dominant team that people believe, but then there's this other narrative, Tony, that people are saying now, and again, these are all false narratives often. These are things that sports writers like yourselves, you know, concoct to
former
create interesting content in the period of like a week when there's nothing to talk about.
Desperate
right?
for news.
Yes.
Talk about
fake
this.
News. Let's make fun of me and my profession. Yes.
No, but in the case of, like, you have that one narrative, which is they don't belong to be there. And then other people have the narrative now that Minnesota is a team of destiny. And now they can't be beaten. And their destiny is to be at home playing in the Super Bowl against New England. Or against whomever, and that's their destiny. So, you know, I mean, like, you can't fall for these narratives, and you got to fall for the facts, and the facts say that
right.
these two teams are pretty close to even, and so therefore Philly getting 3 points at home is just simply value.
The great Minnesota defense allowed Drew Brees to go right through it when he had to. I'm not as sold on Minnesota as others are, Jeff. I'm not.
Which, by the way, reminds of a fascinating stat about this Philadelphia defense, that they have not given up a score in the final 2 minutes of any game this season.
Right.
Including the game, obviously, against Atlanta, where they made that sort of goal line.
Does that matter? Out. Is that something you look at, Jeff?
No. I mean, I think that...
just means they're stout.
That is, yeah. I mean, like, again, like, it lasts, like, if you look at that, sort of, anytime you take stats and you sort of cherry-pick one or smaller sample sets, you're putting yourself in a position where you're letting the stats kind of lie to you. I mean, you know, like the reason that people say they hate analytics is because you look at something like this and then you make the analytics fit your narrative versus looking and just saying like, okay, we're going to use analytics to figure out, you know, like what the line should be in this game. And so like, analytics are just a way to guide the decisions that you make and not necessarily to cherry pick or to create a narrative. Like, the narrative would be completely different, right, obviously, if Steve Sarkisian could call some goal line plays. I mean, the goal line plays they call where they roll out Matt Ryan, a non-mobile quarterback, cut off half of the field and try to throw, like, some sort of a jump ball to Julio Jones every time. I mean, the reality is that Philly knew that was coming.
Well, if they don't, I mean,
stop when you know it's coming.
If they don't cover Julio Jones, though, it's a touchdown pass.
Well, not that play, because that play he's going to land out of bounds even if he catches it.
Yeah, well, he fell down. Yeah, that's a bad play.
I mean, that's a bad play.
That's a crazy statement, right? Like, if you don't cover Julio Jones, who's going to play Atlanta and everything? Like,
well, I guess what I'm saying, Jeff, is I wouldn't say that that's a reason to bet on them. But to suggest that they could play 17 games, many of which they had huge leads, which theoretically you would think just anecdotally means they may be sort of lax and giving up points. I mean, I guess I'm not going to argue. You know this stuff far better than I. But
yet you're arguing.
It's very, very impressive, right? And it certainly means something. It means their defense is very good. But
it's just not relevant.
I just think it might be overplayed a little bit because, like, even if you go back to, I don't know if you remember their game against the Giants where they almost lost to the Giants. The Giants also had a goal line goal line opportunity, four down,
right,
and couldn't convert. But, like, if you go back to those plays, it's probably a matter of inches for them to convert. You know, whether a couple plays here and there. I think there was a drop play in that Giants game. So I'm not saying that it's not meaningful and it doesn't. What I'm saying is that sometimes these things are like a matter of inches, so the meaningfulness of them could be a little bit overplayed.
Okay.
Does that make sense, or does that seem a little too strict on that?
No, I'm that makes sense to me. Yeah.
So we've got New England and Philadelphia, and you did surprise me. You did, taking the home teams. Well, that surprises me.
That's what I'd like to do that after, you know, whatever number of weeks being on there with you, I'd like to still be able to feel like I can surprise you.
I want you to win.
Like an old married couple.
So. Yes. Yes.
Should we ask Jeff about the East-West
Well, a married man and then a trophy younger husband, I would say, not an old couple.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Tony.
Bet the Process is the name of Jeff's podcast. I could not say it 5 minutes ago because I started to cough, but I said it now.
It's weird to think of New England as a contrarian pick, but it sort of is to his point this weekend, I guess.
This weekend it is. This weekend it is. When I was very, very young, there was a show on television hosted by a man named Ralph Edwards, and it was called This Is Your Life. Mm-hmm. And in it, he would surprise somebody in the audience, and that person would be brought on stage, and then their mother, their daughter,
their
high school girlfriend, the butcher, everybody, and it would be amazing how many people would come out. Gene McManus, today, This Is Your Life.
That's right.
Because in the audience is Lisa.
Lisa, who rescued my husband and the runaway mule.
Runaway mule Freckles.
Freckles, yes. So just to show you that I wasn't making that up. And the first thing...
There are some of us in this room that thought you placed more value on the mule than on your husband.
The first thing Lisa said to me just now was, your husband needs you. I was like, yeah. I kind of learned that.
So, Lisa's here and we welcome
Very
her.
Yes.
Thank God she did not bring the mule. Tori would have brought the mule.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have news? Because it's the long segment.
Yeah, just one quick thing. Exercise, Mr. Tony. We talk about exercise all the time. We know you go to the gym. I go to the gym. The president doesn't really exercise a lot. But according to him, he says, I do get exercise. I mean, I walk, I this, I that. I run over to a building next door. I get more exercise than people think.
I this, I that.
It's the new yada yada.
I this, I that.
Yeah.
I walk. I this, I that.
I don't know.
And also just a quick word of...
239.
Quick word of sorrow for the Bearcats.
Program
they fall to the Seawolves, 77-66.
Down one at the half. We lost by 11.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. What do we have when we come back?
Mike Freeman and Old Guy Radio.
Fantastic. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a live version of one of the greatest songs ever written. Written by Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. This is Homeward Bound. This was released 51 years ago today And why do I have a soft spot in my heart for this? Not only because it's a great song in the area of critical commentary, because I watched my son Michael sing this song when he was a senior in high school at Murray. Just sit up there and sing it. Do you remember that?
I do indeed. They had a great tradition where they let artists choose a song and come up and sing at the senior dinner with parents and teachers.
You are very, very good doing this.
Thank you.
You should sing more.
Can you still sing?
I mean, I guess
it doesn't leave you, but you don't do it anymore, really.
I still sing for the boy.
Yeah.
He's big into Les Mis right now.
But you should, you know, maybe do a little theater, group theater, like amateur theater or something.
Family theater.
Something.
I'm staring at you dumbfounded that you think I have the time to do community theater right now.
What else do you have to do? Your boss will always let you out of this job.
It's true.
To watch you perform.
Do some of that 8 a.m. community theater.
Yeah, that baby boss at home won't.
Okay, all right.
That, as you said, that was the live performance from Simon and Garfunkel's greatest hits. Paul Simon wrote that after a woman that he got to know while he was performing in England, named Kathy Chitty, and she was in Northern England, and they got to be friends, and then he was like, well, I've got to go play down in London. And so there's sort of this emotional farewell, and as he was sitting waiting for the train, wrote this basically on a cocktail napkin.
Of course. That's what geniuses do.
Yes.
Mike Freeman joins us now from Bleacher Report, and I think the only thing you can start with when you're going to talk about football today, on this day, you have to start with Tom Brady and what's the deal with his hand. Is it made up? Is it real? What's going to happen? And it's so hard to get information from the Patriots. Fill us in to the degree that you can, Mike.
So you don't want to begin with how I said Blake Bortles sucks last week and that he had no chance to win? You don't want to begin with that?
I'm going to get to that eventually. You know, we'll get to that.
So here's the thing about the Patriots, Tony. They are never – well, let me back up. They're being very transparent and open about this injury. The Patriots are never transparent and open about pretty much anything, but
right.
Especially injuries.
Yes.
It's very suspicious. It's possible that it's completely legitimate and there's probably something there. But the way they're being so honest about it and showing Brady with a little glove on his hand and talking about, I mean, it's very different from how they handle injuries. I suspect that there's an element of truth there and maybe a little bit of Belichick game playing there. There's probably both things are true. I'm sure Brady will probably come out and throw for 790 yards and 15 touchdowns in the game. And we'll all be like, well, we thought he was hurt, but. And I think there's a little bit of gamesmanship here or an attempt at it. And I can tell you the Jaguars don't think he's hurt. They think it's all garbage.
All right, so we're sitting around yesterday and looking for a story. And Kelleher at about 3 o'clock, 3:15, goes, oh, whoa, Brady missed. Brady went to practice, but he didn't participate. And, we put that into the show because of two things. And I know Freeman will agree with me on this. One is the mysticism of Bill Belichick, carefully
yes.
cultivated over a lot of period of time. And the other is the mythic hero of Tom Brady. So anything that comes out about Brady or Belichick with a game coming up is over-dramatized to the 10 millionth power.
Yes.
I suspect, like you suspect, that will have no effect on Brady and no effect on the game. But it is now being used to give Jacksonville a real chance to win. You as someone, and now we'll get to Blake Bortles, as someone who has said Blake Bortles stinks and can't win a game.
Also thought Hillary would win, I'll point out.
Yes. I'm just wondering, how do you see this in the game itself?
First of all, Hillary had 3 million more popular votes. Thank you very much. How do I see this playing out? I see Brady as being probably unaffected by this in any way. And your first point in particular is a really good one, Tony, about the mysticism of Belichick. He's like a Jedi or
yes.
maybe a Sith. And he people think he has these miraculous powers
yes.
to just cast a spell over everybody. And get them to think
wherever he wants. Like when the Jedi waves his hand and says,
these aren't the droids you're looking for.
Yes, this isn't the quarterback you're looking for. And so it's crazy how much people buy into that, but I don't think the Jaguars are. But I do think you're right in that it will build a post-game narrative of the Patriots being superhuman, smarter than everyone. Brady was able to do this with a hurt hand. Belichick was able to pull a little brinksmanship. You're 100% right. If they win, that will be part of the narrative, no question about
now,
it.
Now, Vegas has dropped the line from 9 points to 7 points. So doesn't that suggest that maybe they know something actually is wrong with his hand?
Does it, Mike?
I think they're just trying to get people to bet.
Okay.
Here's what I found interesting. And this is why, as much as I don't like, I had to deal with Belichick and it was unpleasant for me. But I give him all the credit in the world. Jalen Ramsey opens up his fat yap in Jacksonville and says, we're going to win this week and we're going to win next week. And instead of anyone on the Patriots saying, shut up, the Patriots go, yeah, he's really good. I would feel that way if I was him. He's really smart and he's really good.
Yep.
And Belichick doesn't even have to tell them that, Mike, because once you put on that uniform, you absorb Belichick, don't you? You know what to do.
You absorb the whole system, the whole belief system, the way they operate. You don't have to do anything. As you said, it's just sort of built in, and it's from winning so much and the rings and the fact that when you go on that field, there's a really good chance you're going to win the game, and everyone buys into that. So they know automatically. He doesn't really – he will – Belichick will in team meetings, he will sometimes say, you know, watch what you say, especially to younger guys, but not really, not as much anymore. He doesn't have to. All the players do it for him. That's
yes.
a sign of an almost impervious, really built, really great system where the players do your bidding for you. You don't have to really tell them. So they are the Death Star of football, Tony.
By the way, that experience, which Mike cites and undeniably is a benefit to both the coaching staff and the team, Belichick, and I'm sure you heard this, Freeman, a reporter asked him about the benefit of the experience advantage, which he basically said was not, he's like, it's worthless. It doesn't mean anything. You know, we haven't accomplished it. This is all about how everyone is going to perform on the field Sunday. There's no benefit to having been there before. There's no benefit to the experience. And he appeared to me, I mean, at least behaved as if he meant it. And then later I heard a cut from Gronkowski basically echoing it, saying, you know, yeah, we've been there before, but that's not going to help us on Sunday. I mean, they're going to try to stop us. We're going to try to get past them. But I refuse to believe there isn't some benefit to having potentially found yourself in a situation. It's just, it's hysterical how dismissive he is of
so
it
here,
with a straight face.
Here's something I have wondered about for a while. Doug Marrone, who's coach at Jacksonville, was for 2 years the coach at Buffalo, and he walked away. Mm-hmm. And I remember going on television and saying, this is nuts. There's only 32 of these jobs. What do you mean you're walking away? He surfaces in Jacksonville, which is like it's the worst franchise. You know, it's just floating out there on an ocean by itself. And in a year, they're really good. Tom Coughlin has something to do with it. But I'm asking you, Mike, why did Marrone leave Buffalo? And how good is he?
One of the things that happened in Buffalo was that front office situation was a disaster. They weren't, the front offices and the coaching staff were not in sync. They had different goals, and Marrone just decided, I'm not going to deal with this. And then what happened in Jacksonville was a really sort of simple formula. You mentioned Tom Coughlin. Coughlin is sort of the main pulse of this, where Coughlin just said, look, we got Leonard Fournette, we have a lot of athletes on defense. We're going to keep this very simple. And Marrone is fit perfectly with that thought process. He's not one of these guys that's going to be this inventive guy who's going to dream up all these beautiful passing systems. And he's a very sort of nuts and bolts coach. He's a very sort of nuts and bolts guy. So they fit perfectly. I suppose in Buffalo they didn't. So you come in, you keep things simple. Blake Bortles was a problem, but then you sort of limited what he could do.
and then you run the ball and you play defense. That's like a typical Tom Coughlin type deal. It's what he did with the Giants. Keep things simple, play hard, show up 15 minutes early for your meetings, all that stuff. And then Marone sort of fit perfectly with that. So it was just a good system, a good match for those two.
You think New England will win, don't you?
I mean, I said the Jaguars would get their doors blown off, and they go in there and drop like 90.
Yeah.
I think it's a really tough spot. I mean, I thought Pittsburgh was a tough spot, and then Blake Bortles looks like Joe Montana. So I think New England's going to win because they got Brady, and they're at home, and they almost never lose at home in the playoffs. They're a better team and with better coaching staff. But this Jaguars defense is really – it messes up everybody. So I don't think it'll be a complete blowout, but I do think the Patriots are going to win.
I will say this about Bortles, and I don't think he's a good passer, although every once in a while he throws a great pass. Every time he runs, he gets a first down.
Yeah.
Every single time, Mike.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
How's that possible? Are you not coaching against that? You know what I mean? Can't you stop that?
I was going over some of the things that players have said about Bortles.
They're brutal.
Terrell Casey in Tennessee called him a choker. One of the Seattle players called him a subpar quarterback. Jadeveon Clowney called him trash.
Yeah, he's still playing, and those guys are on vacation.
Exactly. And he has really – he's shocked me. He has shocked the league with how well he's played in the postseason. People have compared his run to Joe Flacco's run in the postseason.
Right.
It's been a shocking thing to watch. I mean, you keep waiting for him to choke, and he doesn't choke. And he's still there, so you got to give him a little bit of credit.
Mike, looking ahead to next year, do they think they have a quarterback now? Because prior to this last month, there was a lot of talk that Jacksonville would be a landing spot for a free agent.
I think they do. I think they're going to stick with him. And they like the fact that he's taken a dramatic step forward. And he has become a much better quarterback to them. We can debate that. But he is, to them, they see him as a guy that they can build everything around. And again, they can do what they did this year, which is sort of don't put him in a position where he's throwing the football a bunch of times. You limit it. You run the ball, you play defense. They're going to stick with that formula, and he can fit in that formula.
There is another game, Minnesota at Philadelphia. It will come as no shock to anyone that Roger Goodell will be at that game, not at the New England game. I just have this one question. How is Minnesota still playing? How could they possibly win that game?
This is the worst play
by a safety in the history of mankind. Am I wrong on that?
It was crazy. And he's a good player. I mean, he had a really good year as part of that draft class that was fantastic, and he just does that. And you know why the Vikings are still playing, though, that crazy play aside? The same reason the Jaguars are. They can run the ball really well, and their defense is a monster. And you see these three of these four teams, they all have quarterbacks that aren't good.
Right.
And the reason they're winning is because they've just basically shortened their philosophy of, and they're not putting all the pressure on the quarterbacks. They're not forcing the quarterbacks to win games for them, and they have athletes all over the place. So that's why they're still in it, that crazy, unbelievable play aside. The NFL is gone, at least in the short term, a little retrograde, where it's teams are just saying, we're going to run and we're going to play defense. And we're not going to put a pressure on quarterbacks who can't take it. So we're just going to do our thing, and that's what you're seeing. That's three of the four teams have not great quarterbacks. So that tells you what these teams are doing. They're changing their philosophy. They're going very anti-21st century and going back in time a little bit.
Get you out of here on this. Drew Brees is a complete free agent, and he cannot be franchised. I assume that he'll end up in New Orleans, because New Orleans is really good and should be playing on Sunday, but maybe he goes somewhere else. What do you think happens?
I think you're right. I think he stays. I think he loves it there. He's built a really good life there. He's really respected in that community, most of all. And they want him back. But he wants to stay. They want him back. And usually when that's the case, usually they work things out. So I would expect him to be there and be there, probably finish his career there.
Thank you, Freeman.
Live long and prosper, baby.
Mike Freeman, boys and girls, we'll take a break. We will come back with email and jingles. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all of you folks.
Denise Graves. Yeah. Always grateful when we play that.
Absolutely.
Let me thank Washington Post movie critic Jeff Ann Hornaday, Mike Freeman, Bleacher Report, Jeff Ma, our predictive genius and host of the podcast Bet the Process, for coming on the show. Thank the sponsors today, Upside and Squarespace. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen through iTunes, please leave it. Do people leave us reviews? Do
yes.
We get reviews?
What? We have 5-star reviews.
Yeah.
Unlike chat.
That's good. 5 out of 5.
Oh, that's good then.
Yeah, great.
Right? Do we get anything for that?
5-star reviews. You know, if some person is perusing podcasts, they might stop on ours.
Brent Eaton in Newmarket, Virginia.
Eaton.
Stop the coughing. Stop the coughing.
Sorry.
Who's got a cough? Where is it? Stop the coughing. Is it up on the other floor? Somebody go up there and stop it.
That's funny.
Go down to the restaurant myself and stop it. I don't care who you have to call. Stop the coughing.
Coughing
it's
will
either
be
there or there or out there. Stop it.
We hope it'll be going.
Michael, Ellicott City, Maryland. I was all in to buy the $12 Chatter t-shirt, but on the way over, I heard about this great tactical atomic shirt that McDonald's started to include in the Happy Meals. I just had to have one. Please don't read my name on the air if you don't want to be subpoenaed by Robert Mueller, that is. Ed Overall, West St. Paul, Minnesota. I didn't know there was a West St. Paul. I didn't know that. I have to tell you, Thursday's show was the most tactical podcast I've ever heard by far. Wasn't quite atomic, but I'll listen Friday to hope. So, you've seen these commercials for these things, right?
The glasses? Things.
The glasses.
I keep...
The special ops.
Every time that tactical commercial comes on, I try to hide my husband's eyes from that because I know he's going to want those.
This is from Frank Kelly in Scituate. Is that how it's pronounced?
Scituate.
Scituate, Massachusetts. I'm on the treadmill at Planet Fitness listening to the pod as I do every day when you start talking about the tactical sunglasses. I take my eyes off the mom in the spandex in front of me to see on one of the TVs sand being blown off a pair of tactical sunglasses at that moment, probably by Chatter's leaf blower. What are the odds of that? Pretty good considering how often that ad is run. Maui Gyms, I played in a charity tournament a couple of years ago at Catansit. Is that what it's called?
Okay. I believe so,
number yes. 66 in the top 100 in Golf Digest, Marion, Massachusetts. I was told to pick a pair of sunglasses at the sign-in desk. All Maui Gyms. And if that wasn't enough, we won the tournament. Much pro shop credit. See the monkey scratch.
By the way,
Maui Gyms, they're $200.
Barry on...
And nobody says they're too much money, right?
Barry on Twitter got me at Braun Film. You can follow me on Twitter. To let me know that the best prices on Maui Gyms are at Costco, where they have many options under $100.
Really?
Yeah.
Pre-used?
But you have to be a member.
Yeah, I'm not a member.
Yeah, your membership, I think it's $25 for a year or something.
Jim Flynn in Cobra, Connecticut. Tony, you got me. I want to order a Tactical Chatter t-shirt, size XL, with the arms custom tapered to show off my pythons. Mike in Burke, Virginia. Since you think they sell the tactical sunglasses with the Navy SEAL and the word tactical, have you pondered changing the menu at Chatter to read tactical appetizers, Navy SEAL entrees in similar terms?
Brilliant.
I know if the waiter was in full dress blues and brought me a special forces enchilada to go with my military
I can't. Stop the coffee.
You can't do it.
I can't stand it. Yeah. I mean, Jeannie, you said, why do you even come in, right?
Yeah, why did you?
I just
contaminate everybody else.
It is so much
worse
after an hour of talking.
Of course.
It's so much worse.
Because it needs rest.
Yes, stay home.
Yeah. I don't even want to read these things.
All right, let's get out of here.
Hampton Nager, who I like a lot. Yesterday you said, not for the first time, that Bernie Sanders has his hands in your pockets. Which pockets would those be? Your $500 denim pockets. Those pockets.
Or the orange pants.
Finding it easy to be a man of the people. I am Hampton Nager in Dallas, Texas.
We love Hampton.
Dennis McCann, Bayfield, Wisconsin. Instead of you and the gang just guessing Trump's weight, why don't you demand to see his girth certificate? Can you imagine that?
Girth certificate.
If you were a girther.
I'm a real girther.
If something like that started, He said, I don't believe 239. Your theory, Michael, is that if he goes up 1 pound, he's obese.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so a lot of people, maybe with good reason, want to protect him from that label.
Oh, is that right? Is yeah. that at 6'3", 240, he would be
yeah,
obese?
Yeah, and actually, I think he's...
He's not obese.
He's really 6'2", so if he were 6'2", and 239,
it's
he
a
would
program,
be
you know, we know what obese is. He's not obese. He's heavy. It's not obese. You think he's
one
obese?
One more, he'd be 240.
It's easy to be called obese. You wouldn't believe how easy it is. Technically, medically.
Well, that's not fair then, because obesity, that's a visual. Well, everybody knows.
Couldn't
what
he
that
just
is.
Change the Surgeon General and then change that whole thing?
There yeah. you go.
If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white. And if I have this, I'm not doing this again. I'm not. I'm totally
I fine. Have a piano.
Finish right. it. There you go.
Bring it on, Beeson.
Well, his name is Jake. He's a son of a bitch. His daddy was an ne'er-do-well. He appeared one night about supper time, attracted by a certain smell. I was frying him. It was almost done. It was too much to manage alone. So I shared it with him, and he became my friend. Cause I left a little meat on the bone. Now he's a blue collar dog. It's a thing that he don't hide. His collar fits him well, and he wears that thing with pride. And when I call his name, he's right here by my side. A blue collar dog. Jake don't bite, he don't bark much, so you might not notice him around. But when a stranger comes to challenge him, he ain't afraid to stand his ground. He's a one-man dog. He's happy here, but he still likes to ramble and roam. But when he gets lost somewhere out in the woods, he always finds his way back home. Cause he's a blue-collar dog. It's a thing that he don't hide. Collar fits him well, and he wears that thing with pride. And when I call his name, he's right here by my side, glad to be a blue collar dog. Well, his name Jake, and he's a son of a bitch. He ain't got no pedigree, but he's found his home. He does his job, and brother, that's enough for me. If I were you, I'd keep in mind some evening when you're dining alone. Should some old hound appear and you got some to share, leave a little meat on the bone. He's a blue collar dog. It's a thing that he don't hide. His collar fits him well, and he wears that thing with pride. And when I call his name, he's right here by my dog. Well, he's glad to be a blue collar dog.
I exhale on her she turns around to see with those big eyes what she'll prefer. I came before you left. I watched you take the steps. When you're on the 22nd floor, that hurts beyond compare. Wherever you are, no matter how far, no matter who you're hanging out with, I hope you're having fun. Wherever you are, no matter how far, no matter what, I will be wondering about the standard of my love. I swear I've never felt like this before with no one else. Your body's warm as I try to help you help yourself. Just leave your keys on top of the refrigerator. Cold hands, warm hearts, ain't nothing to be afraid of. I see you move your hands.
About the standard of my love.